Mr. Talmud Chacham?
He told the story of the Rav Kulitz. Kulitz was a former Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
And Rav Jolti used to have a chavrusa. They learned together 16 hours a day. Rav Chavrusa, they sat in a shul, they learned together for 16 hours a day. So every afternoon, Rav Kulitz used to go home for lunch. He used to go home for lunch. His parents had money. And the Salazar, he didn't have money. So he stayed in shul. So at the beginning when he first started going home, when Rav Kulitz first started going home, so he said, so you had what to eat, He said, yeah, I'm a seda. And after he said, Rav Kulitz started asking Rav Zolti, why don't you go home for lunch? So he finally told him, there's nothing to eat at home. He stayed in shul.
Nothing to eat. I always tell the boys about the Gary Yeshiva Bachim in the Warsaw Ghetto. You know, they had a great yeshiva going on. They had an underground yeshiva, and it was perfect, 3-star. I mean, they didn't have to take any breaks for meals because there was no food. You know, you see pictures of the boys just sitting there and learning. They didn't have food. What else is there to do? They just learned. That's Mechayvot. You know, you hear that. You know, Baruch Hashem, we have food. We don't have excuses. So anyway, this is Rav Zolti. This is the holy Rav Zolti. So here's a sefer called Mishnah Siyavitz. Delicious. You've ever learned any Simanim Mishnah Siyavitz? No. I find it delicious. So my brother has finished Shas and Rishonim, but he hasn't gotten to all of the Achronim yet. I just skipped the Achronim. I did a few, so I can tell him, oh, you've learned Mishnah Siyavitz. So here's a sefer called Mishnah Siyavitz from Rabitalo Zolti. By the way, how many people think that I'm older, and how many people think I'm older than my brother, and how many think my brother's older than me? I'm older. How many people? I show a hand. See?
Sure.
A lot of times, guys ask me, they say, you're older than your brother? It's just so weird for me, people should say that.
We used to see Johnny. We used to see Johnny. One time we went to play ball together. So someone went to our face. Yo, man, you twins? Yo, man, you twins?
So, he writes, Gevaldik, he finishes off this word of the Or Sameach. Rav Zolti, so from Dvin. From freezing Russia, we get to warm, tropical Jerusalem. What does he say? He says, let's now look at the rush. Remember the rush we mentioned before? What does the rush hold you do if somebody dies on Yom Tov? Bitsina. That in private, you keep Dinei Avelus. So according to the rush, the Gemara... What? According to the rush, the Gemara works out perfectly. Because the Gemara says, "What? That first you do Bikur Cholim, and then you do." How does it go?
Penimina.
Right. The Gemara says that. What do you do? Excuse me. I forgot to tell you something. Why the rush comes out perfectly? The rush had a different gear than our Gemara. You know that a lot of times people have different texts. So you have to go to libraries to look at texts. You know, they have different texts. And the Gra had his text. Some say he did it on his own. Some say he looked at manuscripts. But there were, he had a different text. And you know what it said in his text? Not like there are texts of the Gemara. In the Rush's text of the Gemara, it said first is Nicham Avelim and then is Bikur Cholim. That was his text. So Rav Zolti said, according to that, it works out beautifully. Because if it says, according to him, Nicham Avelim and then Bikur Cholim, and the Rush holds that if somebody dies on Yantiv, you do Dvarim Shebetzina, that you act Avelus privately, then if you visit an Avel on Yontif, how many chesed are you doing?
Two.
Two, with the living and with the dead, because according to him it is a chesed with the living, because this person is keeping some of the laws of Avelus. So according to him, Nicham Avelim comes first, and then Bikur Cholim. So according to the Rambam, who holds that on Yontif there's no Avelus at all, then it's one against one, so the Rambam would say, go with our gears in the Gemara, do Bikur Cholim first, and then Nicham Avelim, even though normally first Nicham Avelim, then Bikur Cholim. But according to the Rosh, who says that on Yantiv you do Dvaram Shebetzina, so since you do Dvaram Shebetzina, there are two things involved. There's both Chesed with the living, Chesed with the dead, against the Rambam who holds, as opposed to Bikur Cholim, which is only one Chesed, so go for the two Chesed before you do the one Chesed. So that is one thing that you can learn from this Gemara. Just the mitzvah, what's first? Bikur Cholim and Nicham Avelim. Everybody got it? So to summarize in one sentence, we have a Gemara that first you visit the ill, and then you console the mourners. The Rambam says that normally that first you console the mourners and visit the ill. And we had a question how the Rambam contradicts the Gemara. And then we answered, because the Gemara is talking about on Yom Tov, on a holiday. And on a holiday, the Rambam holds that there is no mourning for the mourners. And therefore, there's only one chesed being done when you visit the mourners, which is with the dead. And pikuach olam is a chesed with the living. So therefore, when the Gemara says, first you visit the ill, the Rambam would agree to that, because it's Yom Tov. And in Yom Tov, you do a chesed with the, you do pikuach olam. So that is, now there's one other side point, which is also a very interesting thing. There's a Gemara, there's a famous quest discussion in Halacha about what you do first. About when you take your lulav and esrog. So there's an Arizal who says that at Alos HaShachar, you should go into your sukkah, and you should take your four minim, and you should shake them. And then you go to shul. So some people have this minim. They get up really early in the morning, they go to their sukkah, and they take the dalet minim. And a lot of people have a problem. The halachas don't agree with this Arizal. They say no. You know, you have to do the mitzvah during the ikra mitzvahs, during Hallel, and you do it with the nanuim, with the shaking of Hallel, and it should be done. And also we have another problem. Tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Whatever's done first normally, whatever's more common, has to be done first. So what do you do more often? You daven or you take a lulav and esrog?
Daven.
What do you do more often? Kriyat Shema or lulav and esrog?
Kriyat Shema.
So how can the Arizal say first take your lulav and esrog? You have to do what's more common first. Daven and then take lulav and esrog. So just
last. It's only at the same time. I'm saying over here, if you make night a lulav earlier than you're davening.
Oh, so
it's not at the same
right.
Time.
It's not really. It's not a sphere if you're going to do. So the right. The Magen Avraham says something similar. So he says that it's the pugab over ration. So so what's in it? What's interesting? Just last night I was going to the Sefer, and I saw he brings this Gemara. It's the Mishnah Halachas of Menashe Klein. He brings this Gemara as a raya for the Arizal. Because let's look again at the Lashon of the Gemara. This is what the men of Jerusalem would do. Adam yotzei mibeitzo, a person would leave his house, v'lulavo biyado. Holech lebeitz kinesis, v'lulavo biyado. Now, at what point is one yotzei the mitzvah of taking the arba minim? The second you lift it. So apparently in the Gemara is saying that this guy was fulfilling his mitzvah of arba minim before he even got to shul, just like the Arizal said. So that might be a proof for the Ari. The Ari said to do it before davening. This guy seemed to have done it before davening. So you're going to say, no, he took it in his neat plastic case and in his box, and he did the whole, what's it called? No, but that's not the mashmos of the Gemara, because the Gemara says that to show their chibur mitzvah, they walked to shul with it.
They did it, right?
So that is an interesting thing that they, that he says. Now we're going to get to the yikra part of it, the yikra parts. What time was that? What time is the next year? There's a 10 o'clock shiur? When's the next shiur?
Marv
at 10:30. I'm not going to keep it that long. But this is the most interesting question. I didn't photocopy a few sheets. And that is the question of keeping here. I'll you can pass them around. It's free. The keeping mitzvahs more than you have to. I have a question. You're sitting in shul on Rosh Hashanah, and you're at the kotel, let's say, and you hear them blowing the shofar, and you say, "Ooh, I love this mitzvah of hearing shofar." So you decide you want to hear more shofar blasts. You like hearing shofar blasts. You're an obsessive, compulsive shofar blast listener to it. Okay. So you decide that I want to listen to 1,000 shofar blasts. Like I once read in one of these English storybooks that there was a woman, she had to answer 32 kaddishes a day. That was her thing. She'd run from shul to shul. That was her mitzvah. So you want to do 1,000 shofar blasts a day. Is there any need to do such a thing? It's wasting your time. Another question. We know that there's a mitzvah to eat maror on maror, matzah, and also maror, on Pesach. So how much do you have to eat to be Mekayim the Mitzvah?
Kazayas.
Kazayas! Very good. Kazayas. Also, some say the size of an olive. More the size of the olive, which today's measurements is about 6 or 7 matzahs. Okay? So that is that. Now, let's say I want to be, I'm a serious Jew, I don't just want to eat a kazayas. I say, that's how I'm going to do a mitzvah. I'm going to eat an olive size. I want to eat 21 kazayasim. 21 olives of matzah. I'm just going to keep packing in the matzah. A little constipation the next morning. You never hurt anybody. I haven't had it. I don't want to talk about it. So that is... it won't hurt you. 21 kids. Is there any need to do that? Do it more. Like we know a mitzvah. Like it's like Talmud Torah. Every second you're learning Torah, there's no question, there's a mitzvah. Every second you're wearing tefillin, there's a mitzvah. But what about a mitzvah like listening to shofar? Do you get a mitzvah for every additional shofar blast you hear? Because Chazal told us to listen to a certain amount of shofar blasts. I say, 9. They got up to 30, they got up to 60, they got up to 100. But let's say I want to hear 1,000. Let's say I want to hear. Now, the question is, what about lulav and esrog? The Gemara says, my brother quoted the Lashon of the Gemara before, Mida'ag bei nafak bei, the moment you lift up the lulav and esrog, your yotze. So is there any inyan to hold on to it for longer? And the longer you hold on to it, the better. Or do we say that your yotze the mitzvah? It's finished. There's certain things. Your yotze the mitzvah, finished. Right? There's no need to do it anymore. When a person rips kriya, right? I think a person rips kriya, they rip after when somebody dies, God forbid, we shouldn't know. So I don't know if there's a mitzvah, you know, to rip the whole garment in half. You know, you rip what you have to rip. You rip a longer or a shorter rip. That was in each mitzvah you have to ask yourself, is there a mitzvah to do more than I was asked to? Is there a hiddur? Is there some added thing to do more than I was asked to do? So that's the question I want to deal with. So if you look in the sheet, he quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. Look at the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in page Nun on the right side, in the right column. Mitzvah zaseim in Torah lecho matzvah v'le. This is the same. Lecho. David Abraham. Lashon Shiv Luzav. Okay. Hey, you can look at the rest of it if you want at home. Kishmak. So, it's a mitzvah zasei from the Torah to eat matzah on the 15th of Av. As it says, "Be'erav tochlu matzis, u'misha'achal kizayis, yotze yedei chovasa." And the moment you ate a kizayis, you're yotze. So it's mashma. That's it. You eat your kizayis, you're done. So here he quotes a very, very crucial Maharal, and this Maharal is quoted in a lot of different places. And what he says is, he quotes in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we're in letter Aleph. You see letter Aleph, Ulam. Ra'isi davar chadash b'sefer gvuras Hashem l'ma'aral mi'prag. Is anybody at his grave? No. Whenever I often when I mention the Ma'aral mi'prag, people say they were at his grave. You were at Moshe David?
Yeah.
Anyone who went to Eastern Europe on one of these trips was at his grave. They say people, you know, they saw him dead, we're going to bring him alive, Mitzvah Hashem. You know, you never heard the story. There was once a guy who was going to be a rabbi in a certain community, and they said, ooh, you have no idea which great tzaddikim are buried here. Rabbi Kiva Eger is buried here. The great rabbi, the Ketzos HaChoshen, is buried here. The Shagas Aryeh is buried. He mentioned all those great rabbis who were buried here. So he's saying, wow, this must be a great town, of a bastion of Torah. So he gets to the town, and he sees he can barely get a minyan. Nobody learns. People barely keep mitzvahs. So he said, hey, I thought all these great tzaddikim were buried here. He said, no. What we meant was that nobody pays any attention to them. They're all buried here. Nobody learns the Ketzos HaChoshen, and nobody learns Rabbi Kiva Eger. They're all buried. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring them alive. So, he says like this. And a boss. Wow. Become very human, lady. Hashamish Sha'ochel Kezayis Matzah B'Seva Yatza. It says that Hashamish, the waiter, who eats a kezayis of matzahs yotze. So yeshi lima b'gavra b'dieved yotza. So it's mashma that if you're a waiter at a seder, you know, you go to the Eden Rock Hotel, you pull in $3,000 being a waiter on Yontif, and, you know, you take it home. So what do? You eat a kezayis, and then what's the din after you ate your kezayis, your yotze? Mashma, that's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. What's the ideal? The ideal is to do what? To eat more. Says if you ate a kezayis, you're yotze. So he says, shekol ma she'ochel matzah b'leil pesach lechatchila tzarech haseva. Whatever you eat on leil pesach requires reclining. That even though you're yotze b'kezayis echad, im ochel harbe hakol hi mitzvah achas. He says an unbelievable chiddush. That every kezayis you eat, every olive size, maxi waxi, every olive size amount of matzah you eat on Pesach night is another mitzvah. Every such thing in the world. That's what the Maharal says. So the more, the better. Now there's another thing that people say, that on during the 7 days of Pesach, there's a famous thing, the Gra and the Chizkuni and others, they say that during the 7 days of Pesach, all 7 days, whatever you eat, it's a mitzvah. But that's not what the Maharal is saying. The Maharal is saying that there's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of matzah on the night of Pesach. But if you eat 10 kezayisim, then you've done a mitzvah 10 times as well. It's not part of the general mitzvah of eating lots of matzah on Pesach. It's a mitzvah done 10 times as well. So that's an unbelievable chiddush. And he says, Mahalacha, and a lot of people hold of this, that there's a mitzvah to eat as much matzah as you, the more matzah you eat, the bigger the mitzvah. And he learns it from the Gemara, because the Gemara implies that if he ate a kezias, okay, he's yotzei with that, but really he should do better, he should do more. So where does, that's the Maharal. So the Lahoros Nasan wants to learn it from the Lashon of the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam again, we read it, it's the second paragraph on page Nun in the right column. He says, Mitzvah Esei Min Atar Lecho Matzah B'Lel Chamishasar, as it says, Berev Tochlu Matzahs, U'Mishachal Kizayis, from the time you ate a Kizayis, you're Yotzei Yedei Chova. From that point on, you're Yotzei. The moment you ate a Kizayis, you're Yotzei. So the Lahoros Nasan says, this Sefer, he's a big Rav today in Bnei Brak. He's written maybe 25 Sfarim. He's one of the Gedolei Hador. His name is Rav Nosson Gishtetner. I like his Sfarim so much. When I go to Bnei Brak, I like to pop by his house. And I say, Rebbe, you have any new books for me? The truth is, I usually don't get to see him. Usually his wife opens the door, his grandchildren. But I like to buy, come out a whole shelf filled with Lahoros Nasan. So here's a book on the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. And this is from Parshas Bo. You get a free Lahoros Nasan sheet. So it says in the Rambam that it's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the 15th of Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan, and the moment you ate a kezias, you're yotzei. So what should he have said, the Rambam? Very simply, easier. It's a mitzvah, it's a semen atorah to eat matzah, or to eat a kezias of matzah on the 15th of Pesach. But from the fact that he says, it's a mitzvah to say to eat matzah, and if he ate a kezias, he's yotzei. What does that imply? It implies that it's a mitzvah state to eat matzah. Just pack in the matzah. And if you eat it, because kezias, you're yotzei. You fulfilled your obligation, your primary obligation. But there's still more to do. That's the way we can learn to read the Rambam. The Rambam should have said, it's a mitzvah state from the Torah to eat a kezias of matzah on Pesach night, on Passover night. But he doesn't say that. He says, I love Don. Your mom just give me such simcha when you nod. He shows me you're with me. I missed you today, Don. I wanted to do Ivdu as Hashem B'Simcha. I said, Don isn't here. Don, I'm a big chassid of Don. Don is my Rebbe. I have a lot of Rebbe's, but Don is one of my Rebbe. So the Rambam should have said simply, it's a mitzvah I say to eat a kezayis of matzah on Pesach night. And he didn't. He said, it's a mitzvah I say to eat matzah on Pesach night. And you know how you fulfill your obligation? You know, when you're yotzei? If you eat a kezayis. But that implies that there's a lot more to do. It's a mitzvah say to eat matzah. Eat as much matzah as you can. But if you ate a kezias, then you fulfill your primary obligation. But the more, the merrier. And that's where the Maharal learned it from the Rambam. The Maharal writes that's from the Rab, that I learned this from the Gemara. The fact that it says that a shamis, a waiter, who eats a kezias, is yotzei, which implies only b'dievet. Why is he only yotzei b'dievet? Because it's better for him to eat more than a kezias. And he says the Rambam says the same thing. So maybe he learned it from this Rambam. That the Rambam says, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach. Matzah can mean six boxes. But, if you eat a kezias, you fulfilled your primary obligation.
Does it take away from the mitzvah if you lean? If you don't lean?
No, you gotta lean. That's the point.
Shabbos can't lean.
What? Yeah, but the Shabbos can lean, so therefore he has to fulfill his obligation with one kezias, but you gotta lean for the whole thing, right? If you don't lean, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Now, that is matzah. So here we have, ladies and gentlemen, a gewaldig chiddush by matzah. Hi. So before we go on, I want to tell you, Akasha, there's a great rabbi. There are many great rabbis, Tyre Yidden. You got to get to know them all. My brother's one of them. My brother recently made a Siyum HaShas. But not a Dafyomi Siyum HaShas. A Siyum HaShas of a Jew, who was just here, that man, with a little bit of a scraggly beard like myself, who signed to play professional basketball. If you heard the tape, yes? He finished Shehi Sass for the last 10-12 years, Yoma Malayla non-stop learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rishonim, and he finished Shas well. He knows, anytime I quote a Gemara, he knows the Gemara, he knows the question, he knows the answer, he knows Shas well. This man who's sitting here, much more than myself. But he's also a better basketball player than me. So where does that leave me? It leaves me at a place that, that's when people ask me, how did you know there was something wrong with your legs? I said when I couldn't dunk anymore. That was it. So the Maisa, there's a rabbi in Bnei Brak, and the rabbi in Bnei Brak asks an unbelievable question on this Maral. And the Netziv, by the way, the Netziv agrees with this Maral. The Netziv was Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Elazhin. Elazhin was like the Harvard and Yale of yeshivas back in the day. You going, Rav Falchheim?
Yeah.
It was beautiful having you. Thank you, Rav Falchheim.
You're welcome.
Come anytime.
Okay.
So it says that, so the Nesi says the same thing. And he asks, Akasha, on this Chiddush. And what's his Kasha? His Kasha is from an explicit Tosfos. It says like this. The Jewish people, so what is again, what does the Netziv say, and the Maharal say, and the Lahoris Nassim say, that the more matzah you eat, it's all part of the same mitzvah. It's all part of the same mitzvah. So listen to this, guys. You have to listen carefully. Listen. It's a Gemara. Yerushalmi. Famous. It's famous because Tosfos quotes it, and everyone discusses this Tosfos. It says like this. We know that the Din of Chadash. What does Chadash mean?
New? Chadash?
Chadash.
Chadash. Ani lo yodea.
Gam ani lo yodea. Who knows what Chadash is? You have to know. It's a din d'oraisa.
The new grain you can't eat.
The new grain.
Eat it.
You have a mitzvah in the Torah of bringing a carbon omer on the 16th of Nisan. Until the 16th of Nisan, you cannot eat any of the new crop. Any crop that grew after the previous 16th of Nisan cannot be eaten until the next 16th of Nisan.
And
it applies Mizman Hazeh, what?
Out of Israel?
And it applies out of Israel. Some say, okay, well, that's already a discussion. Some say that in Chutz Laaretz, it's only the Rabbanan, and it's not knowing at all. They had a big problem in Poland and in Russia. The problem was that if they keep the dinam of Chadash, if they keep the laws of Chadash, they're going to starve to death. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat. So the poskim works very hard. There was a famous Bach who says, the Bach in the Shulchan Aruch, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, writes that that it's not, you don't have to worry about it in Chutz Laaretz, and it belongs to a goy. Also, he said, if it's in Chutz Laaretz, and it also is the crop of a goy, then you have a lot more reason to be lenient. And then there's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov. Chassidim were making it because the Baal Shem Tov had a dream. Baal Shem Tov, you know, is the father of Chassidus, that the Achia Shaloni came to him, some great rabbi from the Navi came to him, and he told him that there's no, you don't have to be Chodesh in Chutz Laaretz. So there are a lot of people who are making. I have to tell you that if you want to be a Jew today, you can keep Chadash and Chutz Laaretz. It's not like it was even in the 1970s and 1980s. Today, you live in a Jewish neighborhood. Most of us do, looking around. Somehow, you have access, or at least not far from Jewish neighborhood. So you go to the store, and you can get stuff that says on it, Yashan, which means that it's not from the new crop. And on the other hand, for hundreds of years, Jews weren't keeping it in Chutz Laaretz.
So rice?
What?
Like, just bread? Or rice?
Grain. Does Chadash apply to rice? I don't think Chadash applies to rice. No.
On the pizza store, it says like Kemach Yashin.
Yashin.
Cafeteria, like YU.
I don't know. I don't think the OU keeps Chadash. Because the big Echshayrim can't, because then they're going to be very limited in the foods they can give the Hakshah to. But you just know, until August, September, it doesn't matter. Because until August, September, all the stuff on the shelves is coming from the previous year. Before Pesach. But after that, it's a big problem. I needed something for my health. I needed something in America, a certain food. And I told my friend, just buy it before September. Buy it for me, because otherwise it's going to be a problem of Chadash. I'm scared it came from the new crop. So it has a Hakshah on it, but I don't know if they keep Chadash. So, you know, this around, and finally called me back and said, okay, I'm going to go out and get it. Said it's too late. Said I'm not going to be able to eat it anymore until after next Nisan. Because I tried it. In Eretz Yisrael, you can definitely keep it. In Eretz Yisrael, you definitely have to keep it. And in Eretz Yisrael, everyone keeps it. I mean, you know, anything you're going to be eating is going to be Yashin. But in Chutz Laaretz, you know, once I'm ready, I know I'm barely ever there, so it's very easy for me. I go for 3 days, for 4 days, whatever it is, so I try to keep Yashin when I go. But if you live there, it's much harder. But once I'm ready getting something from there, a product, so I try to make sure that it's Yashin. Anyway, that's the din of Chadash. You now eat the new crop. So Jewish people had a problem. They couldn't eat matzah when they came in there to Israel. Jewish people are in the desert for 40 years. They come to Israel, and they can't eat matzah. Why not? Because when do you have to eat matzah? What night of the year? What night of the month?
The
15th. And when are you allowed to eat the new crop? Only the 16th. And they didn't have, they weren't able yet to bring the carbon omer. So therefore they weren't able to eat matzah. So Tosfos asked the Kasha. He says, I have a great trick. He doesn't use Moshe David. Isn't this great for conservative rabbis? They probably have a few in the 5 towns, you can tell them. There's a law called Aseh, Docholos Aseh. If you have two Kashi mitzvahs, a mitzvah Aseh, a positive commandment and a negative commandment, so the positive commandment pushes off the negative commandment. So do the Aseh, and then it'll push off the Los Aseh. What's a famous example of Aseh, Docholos Aseh?
Brit Mila and Shabbat.
Brit Mila and Shabbat. That in Brit Mila, and I think not everyone holds Aseh, Docholos Aseh, but definitely there's a stat that says Aseh, Docholos Aseh. The example of the Gemara is tzitzis, that you're allowed to wear shatnez in your tzitzis, because the aseh of wearing tzitzis pushes away the loss aseh of wearing mixed garments. Good. So if that's the case, so Tosfos says, I have a great idea. Why don't you eat matzah, which is a mitzvah aseh, and then it will push off the mitzvah aseh of That is also to eat chadash. It's also to eat the new crop. I say, dochel osese. Stos says, no. You get the concept? I say, dochel osese. Eat the new crop. You're right, it's osir. But you're allowed to do the osir because you're doing a mitzvah. So this is not going to work. Why? Because you're going to eat. You're going to, this is delicious matzah, mom. Can I have some more? You're going to eat another kizayis. You're going to eat another kizayis. Hey, Tosfos says, that ain't part of the mitzvah. So that can't push away the Yisr of Chadosh. So you're right, the first kizayis you're going to eat, that pushes off the Yisr of Chadosh. But we're worried that if we allow you to eat one kizayis of matzah, you're going to eat another kizayis of matzah. And you haven't eaten all day, you know, on Pesach, you haven't eaten all day, and then you finally get to the Seder, and you have a little bit of matzah, you know, it fills you up. So you're going to have a second kizayis, and that doesn't push off the los assay, because the assay is only to eat one kizayis. The assay is not to eat two kizayis. Whoa! What's gotcha?
Are you Kaddish?
Says the Stipler Gaon, Rabbi Yisrael Yankov Knievsky. Yaakov Yisrael Knievsky, the rabbi from Bnei Brak, you can still see his son Reb Chaim, who's a walking encyclopedia of anything ever Jewish ever said. He knows everything. You can go visit Bnei Brak. So his father said, Gevalt, poor Netziv, poor Maharal, TKO in the fifth round. Why? According to you guys, every kizayis you eat is all part of the mitzvah of eating kizayis matzah Pesach. Remember we said, two kizayis, six kizayis, that's all part of the mitzvah. So say dochelos say. And Tosa says, no. Tosa says, you ate one kizayis, now you're done. We're scared you're going to eat another kizayis, and that kizayis is going to be chadash, and you're left without a mitzvah, or you're left with a zinavera. Remember, eating the chadash, eating the new grain is an avera. That you're not allowed to do. We have a heter, Tosa says, to eat a kizayis of matzah, because that kizayis is a mitzvah sasei, and I say pushes away the los sasei of not eating chadash. Tosa says, it's good for the first kizayis. Or skills, you can eat the second kizayis. And the second kizayis, Tosa seems to say, isn't a mitzvah anymore. That can't push off the los asay.
I mean, you're mekayim the mitzvah, though. With the kizayis, it's just you get more mitzvahs for...
He said that's all that. Remember, we said it's not just another mitzvah like eating matzah. As part of eating the kizayis, the more the better. It's all part of that kizayis. It's like, the bigger the kizayis, the better. So it's all part of the same achila. That's what the Netziv says, and he says in Mefush, that it's all part, or it's Kamat explicit in the Netziv, and also in the Maral, that it's all part of the same big first kizayis. So once, you know, like, there's certain things in Halacha, like once, you know, once you're doing, like, muksa, certain times, not always, but in the muksa, sometimes you have something in your hand, so you don't have to just throw it out sometimes, you can just bring it somewhere. Once it's already in your hand, it's in your hand. So once you're eating this kizayis, so the more you eat, the more of a mitzvah you get. So that is the big kasha on the Gilas Yaakov asks on the Maharal and on the Netziv and on the Maharasnas. So what is he going to answer? So there's a famous discussion in the Achronim. You got to remember, this is very, very important. You know, Max, one day you're going to be a very serious yeshiva bachar, and you're going to remember this. You're going to say, yeah, I know that already. And it's going to work out for you. It's going to be unbelievable that you know this fact. There's a big discussion when we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh. Does a mitzvah sasei push away a los sasei only when it's a chiyuvi, an obligatory mitzvah sasei, or even a mitzvah sasei that's a kiyumi, that you have an option to be mekayim. There's certain mitzvahs, you have an option to be mekayim, but that are not obligatory. What? Yeah, because you're going to carry that on.
You should say that.
But the Gemara already discussed that. I think it's the Gemara. It's not even the Mefarshim. And they said that you're already yotzei that medag beinafakbe. That you're already yotzei the mitzvah. So you were it's too late already.
The first night, Shabbos.
Right. In other words, in the morning, you take a little Vinesrug. And you want to go?
Shabbos day.
The Gemara says, look in the Gemara, Mem Aleph. I think it says there you're a tov. It's by mitzvah. It says you should be okay, because you're told it's bar mitzvah. It doesn't take as a essay, though. In other words, carrying an arba amas from Rishis HaRavim isn't a mitzvah.
Right.
I'm sorry, I take that back. It isn't a mitzvah. It's simple. Carrying an arba amas, we're concerned that you're going to carry an arba amas from Rishis HaRavim. That's what you're concerned with. So the Gemara says, even if you carry an arba amas from Rishis HaRavim, we have a klal that Tov bar mitzvah is pater. You're trying to do a mitzvah. You're not because of essay dochabos essay. You're not actually doing an essay when you're running to in the Rishi Sarabim. But you're trying to show it to the guy to help you do the mitzvah. So then, but the running in the Rishi Sarabim with your Arbaminim isn't a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, your Tov is bar mitzvah, and Tov is bar mitzvah's pater. You're trying to do a mitzvah. He's trying to help you do a mitzvah. And then the Gemara answers, my brother is here, he'll tell you the Gemara starts. But, so a mitzvah that's not obligatory, like where Moshe Feinstein says, that it's not a chiyuv to live in Israel, but if you live in Israel, you get a mitzvah. There's certain mitzvahs like that, but they're mitzvot kiyumiyot, that you don't have to do them, but if you do them, you get a mitzvah. So maybe you could say, shiloh hakein, sending away the mother bird. So if a guy goes his whole life, he never sees a mother bird, he never sees birds, right? And he never sends away the mother bird, he can go get a great chelik in Gan Eden, right? But if he does the mitzvah of shiloh hakein, you know, some people even say, you know, he can go out to the forest and look for birds, but that he's allowed to do. But it's no chiyuv to go out into the forest and look for birds, to send away the mother bird.
What about stavka?
What?
Stavka. Like, it doesn't have, like, an amount.
Right, it doesn't have an amount. Right, exactly. So it's a chiyuv to give about a dollar or two a year. Serious, it's a chiyuv to give stavka a dollar or two a year. And then there's another mitzvah, minhag, whatever you want to call it, there's different deos to give 10%, and then the more the better. You know? But that is, but there's not mam shechiv, unless the guy comes and asks you.
Can you still give that $1 or $2?
No.
Like, you say you're not supposed to, but like, wouldn't it be that it's tocha?
The mitzvah is not to stealing. And that's the mitzvah of Abba Vera. You're going to ask me the famous question in the big discussion Achronim. What mitzvah of Abba Vera say? I say docha losa say.
Yeah, exactly. That's
not. But you're not allowed to steal. Gil, you're not allowed to steal. You don't want to, but I'm saying tell people, even the American government. You ever such a thing? You're not allowed to steal in the American government. So the answer is basically that here, the first kizayis is a chiyuv. You have to eat a kizayis. The second kizayis is a kiyum. If you do it, you get a mitzvah. But if you don't, it's no avera. What docha losa say? Only something that's a chiyuv. Only something you have to do. That pushes the way the losa say. But something you don't have to do, mamish. So then if you do, you get a mitzvah, like eating another kizayis, and another kizayis, and another kizayis, that is not doche alos ase. So therefore, to the Netziv answers Tosis very nicely, you can say that the first kizayis we should let you eat because of ase doche alos ase. The second kizayis we're not going to allow you to eat because we're not going to allow you to eat the first kizayis lest you come to eat the second kizayis. And even though I hold the second kizayis is a mitzvah just like the first kizayis, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis, and not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's only something you can fulfill. So that is one chiddush. Now, there's another Gemara. We'll take a step back to Rosh Hashanah. And in Rosh Hashanah, it says that we blow the shofar twice. Why do we blow the shofar twice? Says the Gemara. To confuse the Satan. Why is the Satan going to be confused? Because he sees Jews love mitzvahs. Now, I ask you a question. We already blew the shofar before Musaf. Now we're blowing the shofar again to confuse the Satan. The Satan sees we love mitzvahs. What do you mean we love mitzvahs? We already did our mitzvah. We're blowing a second time to show the Satan we love mitzvahs. He's getting all nervous. Oh, yeah, what's going to be? Mashiach is coming. But the Satan, if I was the Satan, I would say those idiots, they already did the mitzvah. And what are they trying to do? Those black hatters, they're always trying to repeat mitzvahs over and over and over again. Why don't they just get on with their lives? Don't take it too seriously. What is this inyan of repeating the mitzvah? They already did it. Your yotzei. How many kolos do you have to sound from the shofar? Midin Torah.
Nine.
How many do we do midin Torah because we're not sure?
130.
30. We do 30 because we're not sure midin Torah. Once you did 30, biblically, you are 100% fine. NPM. No problem, man. So that is 30. Then what do? We do another 30. Why do we do another 100 is another story. But we do another 30 to confuse the Satan. The Satan sees we love mitzvahs. If I were the Satan, I wouldn't see we love mitzvahs. I would see that we're just doing some insignificant act. It was already done. Hey guys, you already did the mitzvah. What are you doing it again for? So what do you see from this Gemara? That blowing the shofar another 30 times is another mitzvah. It's more of a mitzvah. Just like we said, in other words, that if you eat the kezayis, the more kezayis you eat, the better. It seems that the more you blast the shofar, the better. So the rabbis came along, and they made a decree. They said, don't just do it 30 times, do it 60 times. And these extra 30 times, you can't say, after 30, I'm done. Right, that's what we think. We think, I heard my shofar blast, and now I'm done for the day. Well, why should I do it anymore? I'm just wasting my time. It's not such nice music anyway. You can hear better music, maybe, than the shofar. But if you like it, if it wakes you up, if it gives more of you to tshuva, why not? It's also good. But if you feel that you've already been mesorah to tshuva, and you've had enough for the day, then there's no reason to listen to more. But it seems from this Gemara, no, mechavvin es ha-mitzvahs. They love doing mitzvahs, and apparently then, it's a mitzvah to hear 30 more blasts, and you can't say that you were just yotzei. You can't say that you were just yotzei yochir. That's what. That's what he says. So since all the Torah says is to blow 30 times, so you have a chiyuv to do it 30 times, and then another 30 times, the more the better. And then the son says, oh, yeah, those Jews, they love mitzvahs. They're already yotzei their ikar mitzvah, and they want to do even more. So it makes a lot, that works out very well with that Gemara. And then Tosis has a question. Tosis says, we have a problem with Baal Tosis. We have a problem about what's Baal Tosif. You're not allowed to add on to the mitzvahs. You're not allowed to take five minim, five species. So here's Baal Tosif. The Torah says to blow 9 times. We do it 30 because we're not sure. That's not really not Baal Tosif. You're doing it yourself. But the extra 30 is Baal Tosif. You're adding on mitzvahs. The Torah says to do it one way and you're adding on your mitzvahs. So Tosif's answer is no. That it's not Baal Tosif. You're doing one mitzvah twice. What is Tosif saying? Tosif's saying it could very well be, like we're saying, that when you blow, the more you blow the shofar, it's not doing, it's not adding on to a Torah mitzvah, making a new mitzvah. It's doing the same mitzvah in a better way. It's a gezunta mitzvah. You know, you can have two people. You can have a guy, you know, like me, 5'10 and a half, 93 pounds. And you can have a guy, 5'10 and a half, 303 pounds. And, you know, they're both guys, they're both alive. But there's a lot more meat to one than the other. So you want a mitzvah? You want an Ali Erman blowing the shofar? Do it 30 times. You want a 303 pound? You want a gezunta mitzvah? Do it 60 times. You want even more? Don't worry about Baal Tosif. You're doing the same Torah mitzvah better and better and better and better. So according to this, there's an inyan. You go to the Kotel on Rosh Hashanah morning, after you finish your davening, and you just cure all the different minyanim. When I daven at the Kotel, you just daven at the Kotel. I like to cure all the, I also, because it's, you know, whatever, I have my own reasons. But the more blasts I heard, the better. So from the middle of davening, you know, I can listen to the another minyanim blowing the shofar. The more the merrier. So that's what the shofar blasts. Now, we have two more things to discuss. One of them is shofar's lulav and esrog. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you have to do in order to be able to do mitzvah avinim? According to the Torah, what do you have to do? Go like this. Hold on to them. You're done. You're finished. The mitzvah has to take you exactly one half of a second. Why would the Anshei Yerushalayim walk around with them all day? Hello. You did your mitzvah.
The same mitzvah many, you know, thousands of times over again. They wanted to.
Jason's already ahead.
They wanted to go above.
I'm still with McFly, and he's already at the answer. But you hear the kasha? What are you guys doing? The Gemara says midaag beinafakbe. You lift up the armaminim. You're finished. Goodbye, you're done, go on, do other things. Go hang out with girls in the King David lot. Nope. Simchas Yandif. What are you holding your Lulav and Esrog for? What's the answer? The answer is this, as Reuven wants to say, Givaldik! Every second you're holding the Arba Minim is a mitzvah sasei min haTorah. The Ikar mitzvah you're Yosei when? Whoop, finished. Finished. The more, the better. You hold it for an hour, great. For 2 hours, even better. For 6 hours, even better. And that explains our Gemara. How many things can you learn from this Gemara? Already have 3. Today we learned also the 4th. Those guys are sick early. So they used to carry them around all day, because the more, the merrier. And he also says here, he goes down in the Lahoris Nassan, he brings a riot from the rush. I don't want to make it too long, but he also says the same thing about Nir Hanukkah. There's an opinion that says that, let me ask you a question. You light your Hanukkah candles. Is there a mitzvah, right? There's a mitzvah that it should last for how long?
Half an hour.
Let's say you want it to last for more. You put in extra oil. Is there any unit should last for more than a half an hour?
Yes.
The answer is yes. And not only that, but he brings here from one of the poskim who says that you're not allowed to be nene, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the Hanukkah candles even after a half hour. Why? You did your mitzvah already. You did your half hour. What's the answer? The answer is that the half hour is the minimum. But the more, the longer it lights, the better. So you see the same thing by near Hanukkah. Now, the... one more thing. I just don't remember what... But I saw that the stipler asked the following... This is a chiddush already. This is Tov. Everything is a chiddush. But the stipler asked the following kasha. We know that last year, an Oshana rabbi gave a shir. Who remembers? I don't know if anyone was there. But it was unbelievable. The kasha was, what's the mitzvah of Netilat Luvah? Is the mitzvah to be holding the Arba Minim? Or is the mitzvah to take the Arba Minim? What's the nafka minim? What's the practical difference? If the mitzvah is to hold it or to take it, don't think it's an abstract this question. Is it to hold the four species or to take the four species? Yeah. What's the practical difference?
You can send someone to get them for you.
You need to take it to hold it.
And what?
It's the mitzvah on the table.
Yeah.
You're not doing a
mercy,
you're not doing an action.
Someone can bring it to you.
Send a shot to
get when it's a shot, when if you're already holding it, come a little shot.
You're not doing anything.
One thing, it's on the table. You say a sugar sent them off to the roof, and then you take them. And now you're holding it, and you took it. So it's a problem.
Right, so then it's the picking up, because it's over last year. So
no, but even if holding it, when the moment you pick it up, you're also holding it.
If you're holding it when Alos HaShach already comes in,
that's a very big nafkah. Let's say I'm holding my Arba Minim. I don't even know when Alos HaShach is. Alos HaShach is at 4:22. So I'm holding my Arba Minim at 4:20. I'm so excited. The Arizal says, when did the Arizal say to take your Arba Minim? What time? Alos HaShach. Oh, it's a big question because the ideal time is Neitz HaCham. Why do you say Alos HaShach is a different question? The Arizal says Alos HaShach. So I'm holding my Arba Minim. I can't wait. I've been waiting all year for this. Take my Arba Minim. It's 4:20. At 4:22, I want to now make my bracha. If the mitzvah is to take the Arba Minim, can't do it. I took my Arba Minim before dawn. Before dawn, you're not allowed to take your Arba Minim. It's nothing taking your Arba Minim before dawn. If the mitzvah is to hold the Arba Minim, then I'm holding the Arba Minim. Now it's dawn. I'm doing the mitzvah. That's one nafka mina. Another nafka mina is, let's say somebody shoves it into your hand. I'm just like this, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I have an Arba Minim in my hand. If the mitzvah is to take it, I didn't take it, I didn't do anything. I shoved it in my hand. If the mitzvah is to hold it, now I'm holding it. So, the stipler says, and other people say this also, so they want to say, what does lekicha mean? To take, not to hold. And they bring various examples that lekicha is taking. So, if that's the case, then from the Anshei Yerushalayim, if the mitzvah is to take them and not to hold them, then what do we do with the Anshei Yerushalayim? They're not doing anything anymore. You know what the Anshei Yerushalayim have to do?
Put it down.
The mitzvahs are taking it, not the holding it. What are you holding it for? Take it. So, therefore, there's no mitzvah to take it to hold it. But. I heard something similar to this from somebody, so it's not all, I should say that. It's my chiddush, but I heard something similar to this from Tam Chacham, but not exactly this. So, it's a little bit off, but similar. Torah says, ulekachtem lachem b'yom harishon, you should take the four species. And you should be happy before Hashem for 7 days. So first we have in the pasuk take on the first day, and then we have in the pasuk for 7 days. So which is it? Is it a 1 day mitzvah or a 7 day mitzvah according to the Torah? So what's the answer?
The chiyuv is 1 day.
Both.
Depends who you are.
In Yerushalayim.
If you're in the Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah is 7 days. If you're in Chutz LeBeit HaMikdash, if you're outside the Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah is only the first day. Now, the Rambam says that Mikdash is Yerushalayim. So according to the Rambam, we discussed today, the mitzvah in Yerushalayim to take all 7 days. Listen to this, guys. This is the balance. It's a mitzvah all 7 days in Yerushalayim, min ha-Torah, to take lulav and esrog. Now, the pasuk uses a different lashon. The pasuk says that the mitzvah on the first day is lekicha, the taking, and the mitzvah on the seventh day, and the mitzvah of all 7 days is simcha. It doesn't say the mitzvah is lekicha. Now, we had a kasha. Now, kasha was, why specifically Anshei Yerushalayim? Why did the Anshei Yerushalayim take them? Why didn't the Anshei Yafo take them? Jaffa, they have oranges. They like to hold fruits, so let them hold them. Instead of an orange, let them hold a lemon. Let them hold an esrog. And what about the Anshei Savion? You ever been to Savion? Savion is the back Lawrence of Israel. You've been there? You know somebody who has a house there? I used to know somebody who has a house there, but then my parents sold. So the Savion, you go to Savion, and you see nice houses. So what about the Anshei Savion? I used to spend my sukkahs in Savion when I was growing up. I haven't been in America for sukkahs, I think, since 1976. Every year my parents took me to Israel, and then I liked it so much, I said, what the heck? And I just stayed. But why did the Anshei Savion go around with their Arab Minim all day long? Why only the Anshei Yerushalayim?
Because the Anshei Yerushalayim were running a Beit HaMikdash.
So the Anshei Yerushalayim have a different mitzvah than the other people. Everyone else should have done it on the first day, and the Anshei Yerushalayim could do it all 7 days. However, what we can say is that there are two different mitzvahs. It could be that when the Torah says, "Ulekachtem lachem," maybe the stiper is right. Maybe those mafarshim say the mitzvah is the taking are right. That's biyom harishon. The mitzvah on the first day for Jews outside of Yerushalayim is to take, not to hold, but to take the arba minim. What's the mitzvah in Yerushalayim? Usmachtem. How are you sameach with the arba minim? Not ulekachtem lachem. Ulekachtem lachem is biyom harishon. Ulekachtem biyom harishon the four species, and then you're happy with the four species. How are you happy with the four species? When you're holding on to them. So whenever specifically in Yerushalayim, because only in Yerushalayim, the mitzvah is to be happy with the four species, not the taking. So only in Yerushalayim, they were happy with the four species, and wherever they went, they said, we're not going to give up this simcha, that's part of our simchas yantif. Part of our simchas yantif is to hold the arvim minim. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem with the arvim minim. Not with the act of taking the arvim minim, as the stipler says, would be on the first day. The stipler doesn't say it's only for the first day. He says for everybody the mitzvah is taking. But one can suggest that on the first day the mitzvah is the taking, but if you're an Ish Yerushalayim, specifically Yerushalayim, your mitzvah is all 7 days just to be holding on to the rule of an asterisk. What's the simcha? The simcha is to take it off the table? No. The simcha is you're holding on to the arba minim, and they smell so nice, and all that they represent, and all the beautiful divrei Torah you heard, and you're shaking it here, and you shake here, and you shake there. Na 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 na. It's always like a dance, and you take it to the simcha's base of shweva, and you take it to the bika cholim, and you take it to the nechama velim, and you take it to breakfast at the inbal, and you take it to the lunch of the King David, and you take it to supper at the David Citadel, and it's not about supper already. It's too late. It's nighttime. But you carry it around, and that's your Simchas Yontif, and that was the Chiddush of Anshei Yerushalayim. So one could suggest that, and then with that, you would also solve why specifically the Anshei Yerushalayim, and you would explain why it's a mitzvah every second if the mitzvah is taking, and you would that would work very well with the principle that we brought over and over again tonight, that there's certain mitzvahs that the more you do them, the better. So Rabbi Isai, I'll just end off with one note. Everybody agrees that the more you love a Jew, the better. And I love you guys. And I appreciate that you came. And now that you came, and I appreciate you even more, so I get an even bigger mitzvah, so I add it on, so it's a gazoot. It's not a 93-pounder. It's a 303-pounder. So therefore, I want to thank each and every guy for coming, and for bearing with me, and for taking it seriously, and for listening, and for trying to understand, and for participating. And we should all be zocha to smach them, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, really to be happy, not only for 7 days, but for 70 years, and for 120 years, until Amitz Hashem, the Nevi'im promised us that. Somebody told me on the phone today, I was speaking to one of my rabbeim, his name is, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's a famous rabbi from Brooklyn, his name is Rabbi Tzadik Rav Yosef Harari. He was a Shana Aleph guy last year. So he told me that Rav Kaduri had a dream. He was on Yom Kippur and he heard this done. That Rav Kaduri, he heard Rav Kaduri. So he got up from his thing. He lay down for 10 minutes. He put his head up and he smiles like, oh great, the Nesham of Mashiach has just gone into somebody and Ariel Sharon is finished. So I don't know to be happier about the first one or the second one. And then what's the Yom Kippur? Just now. So this is the big news that's going everywhere. That we're near the end. The end is near. Armageddon is near. What do they call it? The apocalypse is upon us. Amir Tzah Hashem. We should be zelchet the simcha to olam al rosham b'mehera the amenu amen.
Amen.
Yeah.